three stages that I want to speak tonight. The gospel, I'm going to spell the word gospel. Is that called an acrostic? Yes? I tried to remember that word and I just did. But the word gospel in simple terms, G-O-S-P-E-L, I was thinking, what word would represent gospel? Well, G, you could say God. Whenever you think of the gospel, it simply means good news, because it is good news. Is that bad news? That's the opposite to the world. The world today is full of bad news. I'm almost afraid to ask somebody, how are you? Do you know why? Because they start telling you. And you're down the dumps after listening to them. The world is so negative and so pessimistic, especially amongst Christians. And sometimes we forget what the gospel is. The gospel is the truth of Jesus Christ, and the truth shall set ye free. And sometimes we're almost living in bondage, living like the world. But the gospel changes people. It's about Jesus Christ. So it's about God. Whenever we think of gospel, it's all about God. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with God. And that's the G. What does O stand for? Well, for me, it stands for ordinary people. Most highfalutin, wealthy people are hyper-humanistic people. They can't see their need for God. But you'll find throughout people, right across the centuries, it's the ordinary person. That's why the scriptures talk about an adult has to become like a child, to think ordinary, to think simply in their need of Christ and their salvation. So tonight, if you think you're just an ordinary person, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You can't be saved unless you acknowledge and realize that you're a sinner. What does S stand for? A lovely word. Salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. Finish the verse. Good. Very good. That's what I mean. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Therefore, the gospel is about God. It's for ordinary people. Christ talked about he came into this world to save sinners, not the righteous, to come to repentance. P, it's a very interesting word, and I thought about the word persecution. You think across the world today, and even in Scripture, from Scripture times on, Stephen, for being a Christian, the only reason why he was persecuted was because he was a Christian. Why is revival happening all over China? Because they've been persecuted. And often that's when revival comes, whenever the country is suppressed and persecuted. And to be a Christian, it's not just an easy Belizeism thing that you tick your name in a box and just live continually. You can be expect to be persecuted. Your friends no longer like you. If you're just going to be one of those Christians that, well, I'm saved now and I go to church on a Sunday, it won't really affect you. But if you live your life and go out tonight for God, it will affect your relationship with your friends. You can expect to leave them, because they won't be interested in you. Whenever I became a Christian, I remember telling my cousin, and he was so angry. And I knew from that moment on, we used to go out every weekend together, and I knew from that weekend on, that was the end of it. And now whenever I meet him, we have nothing in common at all. He wants to talk about the world, I'm not interested. And I want to talk about the Lord, and he's not interested. But he has to go. The Lord brings new friends, wonderful people, into your life. So in many ways you can expect to be persecuted. I'm not talking about people firing stones at your windows. I'm not talking about people breaking your windows in your car. But persecution comes in all shapes and forms. And it's often hurtful. But you must be willing to take Christ and let everybody else go. And that's often what it can mean. It's a cost in following Jesus. And there is a cost. It's not about, it is easy to believe, but it's not easy believism. There's a cost. Who's it for? I love this one here. I put the word everyone because I love that. It's my favorite verse. Romans 10:13. Anyone know what it means? What it says? Very good. For whosoever will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Someone once said, was that famous quotation? I can't remember who said it. But why should people deserve to hear the gospel twice when someone has never heard it once? I heard a quotation the other night, a challenge. An atheist, a scientist, he challenged this person who believed in creation. He was an evangelist to a public debate. The scientist had all the head knowledge. He was a brilliant scholar, and he wanted to challenge this man about the gospel. Is the gospel real? is, can God really change people's lives? And the man was just a simple man. And the scientist knew this, the evangelist. And he said, I'll take you on to the public debate, live on TV, under one condition. No problem. What is it? I can bring 100 people who've been transformed by the gospel and interview them one by one, how the gospel has changed them. And you can bring 100 scientists and you tell me how the gospel has changed them. And the debate never took place. That's the difference. You ask people who've been transformed by the gospel, by believing in Jesus Christ, their public testimony, which we talked about a moment ago. I love hearing people's testimonies, how they get saved, what actually happened, and the difference it made. Families have been changed. Drunkards have been dried up. Families have been brought together again, broken because of drink, brought back together because of Christ. The world will break you. Christ will mend you. That's the difference. Christ just doesn't save you to automatically guarantee a home in heaven. He's a purpose, and it starts with His love. His love, for God so loved the world, you, that He gave His only begotten Son. This, I heard another story. This little girl, she was 3 or 4 years old, sitting on her mother's knee, and she's stroking through her hair. She said, Mommy, your hair is lovely. And her mother said, thanks very much. And then she started stroking her face. Your skin is so beautiful, smooth. And then she looked at her hands. She said, Mommy, your hands are awful. What happened to them? They're all covered in scars and blisters. And the mother said, whenever you were just a baby 2 months old, our house went on fire. And I ran upstairs and you were crying. And I quickly lifted you out of the pram and I shielded you. And as a result of saving you, I almost lost my hands. And we girl heard that story because of the fire. She said, Mama, your hair's lovely and your skin's beautiful, but the best part I like about you is your hands. That's a true story. Why? Because it was the hands that were used to save the little child. And whenever you think of the gospel, it's all to do with Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of this world. The gospel is for everyone who believeth. What does L stand for? Well, you can say liberated or being set free, but I like the word lost. It's for a lost people. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in that garden, they were lost. And everyone born after them is born lost in this world. And Christ Jesus came to save them and to find them. So it's good news. I want to think also, secondly, about there's some verses here I want to quote. We must stick to Scripture if you want to know about the gospel, what it means. I love the verse in Mark 16:15. And you know what it says? The Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is mentioned, the word gospel is mentioned 98 times in Scripture. 98 times. Mostly by Jesus Christ, about preaching the gospel. That's what he was. He was a good person, of course he was. He was a healer. He was all these things. But what did he do? He preached the gospel, the reason why he came into this world. I love reading all the verses to do with the gospel. In Acts 15:7, it said there had been much disputing. Why? Because the Jewish people did not want the Gentiles to hear. But Christ, Paul said in Acts 15, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. How can people hear if they don't, how can people be saved, believe, if they don't hear the gospel? Repent ye therefore and believe the gospel. The word of God says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul talked about being separated unto the gospel of God. The word gospel is a beautiful, beautiful word. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Many Christians today are ashamed of the gospel. Many Christians today are ashamed of being a Christian. When do people get their most joy? The moment they get saved. They're bouncing. I remember whenever I got saved, I was 17 years old, and I almost got caught speeding with my mother and beside me. I was so excited. Flat out, like Stephen skiing. Flat out, couldn't wait to get to the end and turn around and go back again. You're so excited. You want to read your Bible. You wake up in the morning, you want to pray, and you want to read, and you just can't wait to find someone to tell them of what Jesus has done. You know what often happens whenever our light grows dim and the fire that we once had maybe goes cold and there's just a wee ignition? Sometimes we forget our first love, and that's the gospel. What it caused God to send His Son for you. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves what Jesus really means and how the gospel has changed us. Remember, you can't remember when you were born, but you always know the date of birth. And those you received, you might remember exactly when it was, but you'll know what's happened. Because every time you go to do wrong, every time you go to sin, that's how you know you're a Christian, because you know what's wrong. You know what that is? That's the Spirit of God living within you. And the Christian life, I believe many of us are like little piglets or little calves or little lambs still on the milk. And we're losing out in God with God. We're missing out on so much of God and His truth and His Word. The gospel is truth, and the truth will set you free. So many Christians often are living in bondage, losing out with God. And I think of all these lovely verses in Romans 15. Talks about the power of the Spirit of God from Jerusalem and round about. I have fully preached the gospel. Everywhere he went, he was a witness, and he preached, and he talked about other people hindering the gospel of Christ. Take nothing to do with them. Many people will often hinder the gospel. What does he say in Corinthians 9:16? At first, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Dangerous thing to be a Christian. Big responsibility. Everyone the Lord puts upon your heart, and you know when he puts it upon your heart, we must tell them. Because if we don't, it's clear in Scripture we will give account of that moment. God says, I've opened the door. Walk through it. Tell them. And that could be the moment they could be saved, and you could miss their opportunity or your opportunity. Take it. And the Lord doesn't make it impossible. Just like a moment ago, if I was to say who wants to stand up, you say no. But you take the opportunity, and the Lord will bless you for that, for doing that. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. If we hide the gospel, if we keep it within ourselves, we're starving all our friends and neighbours of the truth of being saved. Big responsibility. If you people weren't saved, how would everybody else know? You didn't know the gospel. Share it with other people. Don't be selfish with it. The God of this world, the devil, hates Christians, hates the gospel, and he doesn't want people to, he wants your mind to be busy. Hands up who has a fairly busy lifestyle. Okay, well, we've taken away the horses, we've given you a car. Has it helped? Still busy? Okay, we've invented the telephone, but you now no longer need a car to stick in your house, so you can give you a mobile phone. Is that a bit easier? No? You don't have to work 7 days a week. You can work 5 days a week. Does that make it easier? You don't have to milk the cows by hand. Whenever I grew up, my dad had a cow. It was 7 boys in our house. My dad used to milk by hand. And he seemed to have time to do that and do everything else. Today, milking parlors have got milking machines. You just... And the milk comes flying into this big plastic glass bucket. Isn't that amazing? Yet we're still so busy. Is there a danger that the God of this world has blinded and made us so busy that we have no time for ourselves, never mind to tell other people the gospel? Do not give in to the lies and the deceit of the devil. There's many verses about the gospel. Paul said, and Dr. Paisley in his heyday used to write this verse, woe is unto me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Many verses, and the last verse I want to leave with you is Revelation 14, verse 6. It talked about having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and all people. Nobody should be excluded from hearing the gospel. To finish off, maybe you're here tonight. You're not a Christian. You wonder, is this relevant for me? We're doing questionnaires. And we're going to the towns and the malls, and we're meeting people and just ask them. Because sometimes the old way of the natural way of giving person was, there's a track, read it, a size 4 font, can't read it with glasses on it, and that seems to be the way to evangelize. So we have to reason before the Lord. If we want to get the message across to these people, how do we do that? And some of us have got questionnaires, and we're just simply asking the people. And you start off, what do you do for a living? Do you study? Do you work? Do you drive a car? Do you like cars? Make it interesting. And you go to church. God, do you believe in God? Do you believe in heaven? A hereafter? Do you believe in hell? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe the Bible? And challenge them. Get them thinking. And then you've got the gospel right into their heart, into their head, and pray it'll sink right into their heart. First of all, you need to believe. It's like a sinner whenever you're dealing with people. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must believe you're a sinner. You must also realize that God hates sin. Can't be in heaven. God hates sin. Why did he destroy this world with a flood? Because of the wickedness of man. God hates it. Sin must be punished, for the wages of sin is death. Enjoy your sin, you're certain to die. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who took the punishment? Christ took the punishment upon the cross. I love the verse, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto those of us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. This is a crucial one. A person must admit they're a sinner. Can't be saved unless you realize you're lost. Another word for being saved is to be rescued. You can't be rescued unless you're drowning, unless you're in trouble. Somebody just walk up the street, excuse me, can you rescue me? Why? Are you stuck in the mud? Are you stuck in the river? No, I'm just walking along the road. You don't need rescued. When a person needs rescued, they're in trouble of death, of drowning, or a fire, and they cry help. A person must cry help before the Lord. Believe that Jesus Christ took our punishment, then we must repent, simply turning away from our sin and turning unto the Savior of this world. Then you become a Christian by simply putting your trust and believing the gospel. Then the secret thing after that, when you become a Christian, ask God to guide you. You know why so many Christians are walking around in a circle, depressed, deflated? Because they try to live on their own strength. And learn that simple lesson. I used to be like that. Read Pilgrim's Progress. The guy's walking about with a big bag. And the Lord says, give it to me, I'll carry it. No. I'll carry my own burdens. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And if you're a Christian tonight and you have a big burden, you need to get shot of it. The Lord says, give it to me. Give it to me. Ask him to guide you. Be filled with his Spirit and live the Christian life. That is the joy of the Lord is my strength. And then what do? When you ask the Lord to guide you and you're filled with the Spirit to live, then you'll automatically want to go and tell and share the gospel with other people. Evangelism or the Great Commission. It will burn your heart and you will weep over lost people because they're going to hell. And that's reality. The gospel still changes people's lives. I shared with the people the other night, we had a prayer meeting with two Bible clubs last week, and one of them, there was a wee boy, and he said at the start of it, I want to get saved. We told him, come at the end, because we're just setting up. If you still want to get saved, come and tell us. And he came up at the end, and he said, Colin, I want to get saved. And we went through the steps with him, and he understood what it meant to be saved. He'd never been saved before, and he simply put his trust in the Lord and got saved. And I said, the first thing you got to do is tell people. There's 5 adults that are going to tell one of them. And he went up and tugged one of them, David, and he must have said, I couldn't hear him. He must have said, I just got saved. And David, the other guy, put his arms around him and lifted him up. I thought, you're not in Poland now. Don't do that. Why did he do that? This guy, David, I said, David, why are you so happy? He said, he's in my Sunday school class. And his family's so broken. And that child is so lost. And just like that, through the gospel, through the sowing and through the reaping, the Lord was pleased to save him. Another wee boy stopped. He wrote on his worksheet, I'm half saved. I thought, what does he mean by half saved? That troubles me, that. I need to find out what he meant by saying that. So we got him out of the classroom. On the card of the school, your school teacher, this doesn't normally happen, but it happened. And I said to him, as we country school, what do you mean by you're half saved? That doesn't make sense. He said, well, I've sort of saved. You can't be sort of saved. You're either saved or you're not saved. There's no middle ground with God. He said, well, I was nearly saved, but I never got saved, and I want to be saved, but I'm not saved. I says, why not? He said, well, I nearly done it, but I didn't do it, and I want to do it. I go, I'm easily confused. That's enough of that there. I said, have you ever asked the Lord into your heart? No. Why do you want to ask the Lord into your heart? Because I want to be saved. What does it mean to be saved? Saved from sin. I want to go to heaven. And I said, well, when are you going to do this? He said, I want to do it any time. I said, you're standing in your corridor. And you want to hear the noise of the school. And they couldn't hear us talking. There's a couple of us and the wee boy. I said, you can get saved right in this corridor. He says, right now. I said, I can lead you to the Lord or you can pray yourself. Just like that. Do you want to hear the silence in the school? Yet the amazing thing is it was impossible for them to hear us talking. He was so soft-spoken. He closed his wee arms, closed his eyes, and you want to hear him pray. I'd bring tears to a stone. Lord Jesus, I want to live for you, and I'm not even saved. And I want you to come into my heart right now, in this school, and save me, and take away all my sin. Amen. Just like that. I thought, that wasn't a big scholar. That was a wee boy in P6. Both those wee boys were called Alexander, by the way. And I thought, that's what it's all about. That is the secret. The simplicity of understanding Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And away he went, just like that there. So the Lord's working. You know how we know the Lord's working? Because if he stopped working, he'd be back. And when he comes back to take us home, it's too late to live for him, to do anything for him. So that's why we've got to be busy. And do what we can to live for him, to serve him, and to smile for him, and just to generally live out the Christian life. And friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're missing out. The wages of sin is death. And death's real. Death's forever. Hell's forever. And don't think you're going to be with your family and your friends, because you're going to know nobody. You're going to see nobody out there. It's eternal. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.